Brother Wayne, what have you got for us this morning?
I'll make one up.
Good.
1906, I always like to hear it.
Good morning. I've been to 3 funerals in the last couple of months that led me to sing this song today. You all hear it, and some of you will know it, most of you will know it, and you're welcome to sing along, especially on the chorus. Okay. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Thank you.
Be reading from Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 18 through 26. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter had just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout all that region.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you in here can say you've been healed by Jesus at some time or another?
Yeah.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
You know, we've been reading about these miracles, and we continue here. I mean, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You know, I was taught at Louisville Bible College that the miracles stopped. Yeah. They're possible, but they just don't happen very often anymore. That was because the main thing the apostles brought to us and Jesus brought to us was the gospel. But we didn't need miracles anymore because they were there to prove that words of God are true. I don't think they thought that logic all the way through. Because if God's word is still true, then where Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, then that's true also. And if he did miracles then, he will do them now. We have, most of us at some point in time, experienced something that God has done for us that we can consider a miracle. And I'm not putting that lightly. I used to be one of those people that staunchly believed they didn't happen anymore. And it took God a lot to get me here. In fact, he had to do a couple of miracles for me to say, that seems like that's not scientifically possible. These miracles were, in fact, to prove the words of God. When someone speaks on God's behalf, sometimes God has to convince them that that person's not a fruitcake, just saying what they want to say. Now, the good thing is that most people who go to church, at least to a conservative church, already believe that the word of God is true. So it's not necessary for there to be miracles being performed at every service for people to believe what God's word says. Because when we read about these miracles, we believe it. Imagine that. Are we crazy or what? I've had people tell me, you know, who in their right mind could believe all that stuff? And I said, well, I think I'm in my right mind. And they thought that was questionable. But here's the thing. If Jesus really is God in the flesh, what is there that he can't do? I think that sometimes the problem is that people's definition of God is way too small. Because they say that God did do these things that the Bible says he did, but for some reason now he can't or won't. Why? Did God get smaller? Did God lose some of his abilities? I mean, it just doesn't make sense, folks, to think that way. Here we have Jesus healing two people. He gets word that this leader's daughter has died, and this man has so much faith that Jesus is able to even raise her from the dead that he calls on him to come. And on his way there, another woman comes along who had this bleeding problem and had it for years. We're told in another gospel that she had spent all of her money on the doctor. Sound familiar? And still didn't get better. So apparently doctors back then had some of the same problems they still have today. There's some things that were intended for God to handle, not a doctor. I didn't hear amen. But if you think about that, I mean, here this woman, she had done everything she could possibly do to try to get well. She had gone from doctor to doctor. She had spent all of her money. I mean, come on, folks. We all have had some sickness that just wore us down to the bone, and we were willing to do whatever it took to try to get to feel better. You go to this doctor, and he sends you to this specialist, and you go to this specialist, and he sends you to that specialist, and you go to that specialist, and she sends you to this specialist, and you go to this specialist, and pretty soon you're more tired from going to the doctors than you are from being sick. Plus, you're broke. And your insurance company says, no, we're not paying for this anymore. And you still don't feel good. So this woman said, I know where I can go to get healed. I know where I can go to make me whole again. I know what I have to do. If I could just touch the cloak of Jesus' garment, I will be healed. That is faith, folks. And that's exactly what she did, and that's exactly what happened. Jesus often said, may it be unto you as you believe, or as your faith is. You know, part of the time, I want to say we just don't have enough faith. And I believe that's true. But faith is not the only answer. There are some people who teach and believe that if you have enough faith, anything's possible. Well, that's true, but it's not complete. Faith, with faith, all things are possible if it's in the will of God. That's the completeness of that statement. It has to be in agreement with what God wants. And we tend to forget that sometimes. Because what I want is what matters the most, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest here. That's the way we think most of the time. In fact, that seems to be how young people today are taught to believe. What I want is all that matters. If you don't give me what I want, I'll throw a fit, I'll kick, I'll scream. I might even hit you, or bite you, or pinch you. Or scream and yell in the aisles in the cart at the grocery store and make you look like a fool. And you know what's bad about that is when a child does that and the parent tries to correct them the way that the Bible says you should, somebody wants to call the police on them. Oh, they're abusing that child. How's a child going to learn to behave like that if you can't correct them? Jesus loves everybody. He didn't just pick out certain people to heal and certain people not to heal. The difference is those who had faith to receive it and those who didn't. The Bible says, what? Ask and yeah, so if you don't ask, guess what? You don't receive. But it also warns us not to ask with wrong motives. So how do we know the right motives? We have to have our heart in tune with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead. If you haven't experienced that, you will. At some point in time. But we have to be into the Word of God. We have to be prayer warriors. We have to go to our prayer closet. And we have to spend time with God in order to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And we need to take our Bible with us. And we can actually pray through the scriptures and say, Lord, your word promises this. And I'm claiming that promise, but I need you to help me to understand it. I need you to show me how this is going to play out in my life. I need your help, Lord. Amen. And he'll come back and he will put a scripture, another scripture in our mind, or he will make us to understand that scripture that we are looking at. And we'll go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then we know that we are in tune because we're listening, we're asking, and we're receiving, right? We're asking God to have the Holy Spirit reveal the truth of these things to us and to show us how it works. And we receive that if we don't quit too early. Many people ask for things and then they don't listen. I mean, you know, I'm sure none of you as parents have ever had your kid ask you something and was gone before you ever give them the answer. Right? Hey, can I go over to... They're gone before you ever had a chance to say no. You know, this morning, the Lord put this thought in my mind. I don't know. I guess it's something for me that I have to figure out. But this morning, as I was getting ready to come over, I was thinking about, you know, when you're a child, even a child of God, often we get instructions of some kind. Right? Mom, Dad, go clean up your room, do this, do that. Mom, can I go? Not right now. So all of a sudden this thought comes in your head. 15 minutes later, well, it's not now anymore, so I'm going. And like Mom, God has a way of letting us know what he thinks about that. And sometimes it's painful. We have to learn to not just listen and hear what we want to hear and not add to or take away from the Word of God, but to obey what he says. If he says wait, he means wait until I say go. Right? Yeah. Here we see that it was the right time for these people to be healed. This woman came, she had waited a long time, it says. She had had this illness a long time. And folks, this is not the first time, I'm sure, that she had prayed and asked God to heal her. But now she sees someone who she thinks is a representative of God, at least whether she thinks he is God in the flesh or not. She sees him as a rabbi that has been doing miracles, someone that she believes is able to cure her. And she believes that he can and that he will. And she goes and she touches, and sure enough, she is healed. Now, folks, she'd been through this 12 years. It wasn't something that happened the first time she asked. She had to keep asking. Maybe the first few times she asked, she thought, yeah, I'll ask, but he really won't do it. I don't deserve it. Anybody here ever think that? Asking God something and think, oh, I don't really deserve it, so why would he? You see, it's not about what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be burning in hell right now. That's just an honest, cold truth, folks. We get the opposite of what we deserve when we put faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We get mercy. We get grace instead of what we deserve. These people received God's mercy and his grace when they were healed because of their faith, because they believed that he could and that he would, and he did. First, this elderly woman was healed after all of these 12 years of waiting, of crying, of agonizing, of feeling bad. Boom! She's well. We're told in other Gospels, and we'll get to that later on, but we're told in the other Gospels that Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And the apostles said, are you nuts? Everybody's touching you. Look at this big crowd of people. And you ask, who touched me? And he says, no, no, no. He gives this qualifier. Power went out from me. Do you ever stop and think about that statement? Power went out from me. What does that mean? It was the power to heal that woman. But why didn't all the other people who were touching him cause power to come out of him? What was the difference? Faith? Circumstance? There's lots of things that could be. We're not really told. But it's probably those things. But this woman, she was desperate. When we get desperate for God, those are the times when we really fast and pray. Those are the times when we really feel a need for God. It's sad that sometimes we have to be told bad news by the doctors before we get desperate for God's help, for God. We have to finally get introduced to God, even though we say we've known him all these years. We finally get introduced out of desperate situations. And if we're not careful, life, flesh, the devil will cause us to forget him again after we feel better, after we're healed. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a hospital room next to somebody that's saying, "Ah, Lord, if you'll just get me through this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I will do anything you want. I'll go any place you say." And they go to church for a few months, and then they stop coming regularly, and then they stop coming at all. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever experienced anything like that, but I've seen that, and I've been guilty of that myself in the past. Jesus turns to this woman, and he knows already, folks. When he said, "Who touched me?" he already knew. He wasn't asking the question so that someone could inform him what happened. He was asking to give her an opportunity to recognize what he had done for her, to worship him for it, to thank him. And she was scared, but then she told everything. Wow. Folks, when we unburden ourselves to the Lord, it takes all of the weight of the problem off of us. And we give it to him, and he carries it for us from then on. But we have to be willing to unburden ourselves, to go all the way with him, to be totally honest, to bear our soul to Jesus. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what? Rest for your soul. And he means that, folks. He means that. This woman experienced that. She came and she bore herself, all of her problems, all of this struggle that she'd had with this bleeding issue and with everything else. She told it all, not just to Jesus, but this whole crowd was around. Can you imagine how embarrassing that was? The woman's bleeding issue, and she's talking about it in front of all these people. But she wasn't ashamed. She was happy. She didn't mind telling the Lord. And she didn't care who heard. It was her testimony of her healing that had taken place. Everyone could rejoice with her. Or they could doubt her and say, "Yeah, right." But the Lord said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Has made you whole." And then he goes on to the original task that he had been called out for. Going to this leader's home to see his sick daughter. And when he gets there, now, folks, in that day and age and in the tradition, and they in the Jewish custom, they may still do this, I don't know. But back then, they were required, if you had a death in the family, you were required to pay at least one
mourning woman and two musicians. That was part of the wake, the funeral service, the wake. And you were required to have mourners. And so Jesus walks in and here's these group of people that are professional mourners and funeral musicians. And they are carrying on the wake of this dead girl. And Jesus walks in and tells them, "What are you all doing? She's not dead. She's just asleep." And they'll start laughing at her. At him, rather. "You're crazy. We can tell she's dead. She don't have a pulse. She's dead. Okay?" And so Jesus said, "Get out. All of you, get out." And I'm sure they all looked to the parents. And the parents said, "Yeah, get out. Do what he says. Get out." And he goes in and he takes her by the hand and raises her up. And she stands up and she comes back to life. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody walking into a funeral home in the middle of a funeral, walking over to the body, grab them by the hand and say, "Come on, stop being lazy. Get up." And then they get up and start walking around talking to you. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's kind of what happened here. They were already having the wake. They were already having this funeral service. And he comes in and grabs her and pulls her up. And she gets up. And she is healed. Whatever her sickness was that made her die in the first place, it's gone. She's no longer dead but alive. Now, folks, here is the spiritual application for us from that. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. And when we come to him and put our faith in him, and when we repent of our sins, and when we call on him as Lord and Savior, he rises us from the dead of our trespasses and sins, and we become alive in Christ. New creatures in Christ. Even faith is a gift from God, folks. Even the faith that we have is a gift from God. I mean, come on. You can't ask for any better deal than this. God does everything that is required for us to be saved, even giving us the ability to have faith in Christ, whom he sent to pay the debt for our sins. All we have to do is accept that gift. Confess that we are sinners. Repent of our sinfulness. Repent means to turn from our sinful ways and to turn to God. In other words, we stop living a life of sin and start trying to live a life of righteousness and holiness. And he even enables us to do that by giving us the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on! Can you get a better deal at Walmart? I mean, come on, folks. God is good. All the time. Folks, this new year. I know I said I thought we were going to have a revival before the end of last year. And I think that I misunderstood. There was preparation for the revival because many other prophets of today are saying, this year, there's going to be a major revival. This year, it's all in place. So, I don't know. But what I do know is each one of us can have revival if we're willing to confess our sins and accept the healing that God wants for each one of us. I'm talking about spiritual healing. That can also result in physical healing, but we have to be willing to bare our souls. I don't know what it's going to take for each one of us to get to the point of desperate. And I hope we don't have to find out God's way, that we have to wait until he puts us in a circumstance where we are desperate for his help. because we have the option to turn to him now. So if you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing.